Well, this time of year, many Canadians are contributing to their RRSPs in order to save for their retirement, help reduce their taxes. So here to discuss just how millennials and Gen Zers, how do you even say that? Gen Zers are saving for the future is Mark Ting. He is our guide to personal finance and a partner with Foundation Wealth. Gen Zers?
They call them Gen Zers or iGen.
iGen. So I like choose. That's easier. Okay, it grows off the tongue. So do you find a lot of millennials and Gen Z are making RRSP contributions?
Well, the iGen and the millennials. No, not really. They're not making a lot of RRSP contributions, but I'm okay with that because typically this group doesn't really have a lot in the way of disposable income.
They're trying to pay their rent.
Yeah, pay their rent, student loans, a whole bunch of other things. And that's it. Like RRSPs are not a huge priority at this stage in their life. And I much rather them pay off those debts and build an emergency fund. Now, if there is money left over, because obviously some people have money left over, then often the best choice is a tax-free savings account if they're making less than $55,000 a year, and RSPs for those who are making over $55,000 a year. So figuring out where to best allocate your money or how to invest in everything isn't always clear. It's not black and white, so which is why a lot of people do seek the help of a financial advisor.
So you recommend people relatively new to the workforce or investment work that they work with a financial advisor?
The trick is actually finding a knowledgeable and experienced advisor that will take them on as a client, because there's plenty of advisors out there, but not all of them are created equal. So that what we find is the better advisors, the ones with years of experience and have the proper credentials, they usually only take on clients with a decent amount of investable assets. Usually we see minimums of about $100,000 to $500,000. And the reason for these minimums are pretty simple. Like they're business people. So they could take on one client who has $500,000, or they can take on 50 clients who have $10,000 to invest. And obviously dealing with one person's financial needs takes up a lot less time and resources than dealing with 50. So that's why the better advisors tend to have these minimums. So where does that leave these iGen and millennials? Because they're probably just starting off in the workforce. They likely don't have those required minimums. So they're in a bit of a tough spot. They have a lot less choices.
Well, okay. So limited options, but some options. No, I mean, what would be the first step for someone who's making their first investment in a TFSA or RSP?
So one way they can circumvent the minimum requirements is a referral. So if you have a family member or a really good friend and they're working with an advisor that's really good and very knowledgeable and adding a lot of value, then usually that advisor will take on that, you know, let's say it's a child of their existing clients, sort of as a favor. So this is a good option. So definitely ask for referrals or introductions from family members if those family members are working with a really good advisor. Now, technology comes into play. Millennials love technology. So there is this new category. It's been around for a couple of years now, and they're robo-advisors. So robo-advisors use technology, and they put together these low-cost investment portfolios. The portfolios use algorithms, and they rely on that to do all the buying and selling of investments. And from a portfolio management perspective, I think these robo-advisors are a pretty good option. They work well, they're efficient, and people who are new to investing, they know how to use it. And if they only have very simple financial planning needs, then that generally is what I recommend.
Okay, so if robo-advisors are cheaper and they evidently do a decent job managing the money, why just for new investors? Shouldn't we all consider this regardless of age or wealth?
Well, I don't see robo-advisors replacing human advisors anytime soon, like completely replacing them. Where I see robo-advisors doing well is I think they're going to cannibalize the business of the mediocre advisors. So the advisors that charge a lot of fees don't really add much value. I think people are going to get fed up with those types of advisors and move on to a cheaper option, such as a robo-advisor. And to me, that's a good thing. Simple financial planning questions, like sort of deciding if you should invest in a TFSA or an RSP, those could be easily answered by a robot or a questionnaire. But where they really fall short is when things get complicated. So that's where a human comes in. So let's say you had a trusted advisor. He or she would consider a lot more than, say, what a robot could do. So you consider your overall financial situation and give a lot more advice on limiting taxes, dealing with inheritances, donating money efficiently, buying homes, getting mortgages, basically everything and anything that affects your family situation. So this type of advice is often underestimated. I just find that all the time. But it's just as important as the rate of return on your investment.
Well, and here you are sitting in front of me. You're a financial advisor. So you're trying to show us both sides of the story here. But it would be strange if you're saying, yeah, ditch the advisor and go with the robo-advisors. But are traditional advisors like yourself, are you worried that the robo-advisors are coming after your job?
No, I think, again, it would be the mediocre advisors. I think they should be sweating because they're the jobs that are going to be going away. But I think I'm embracing the technology. I think there's a place for both robo and human advisors. Investing is extremely emotional. You've heard me say this all the time, that emotions are like the worst thing when it comes to investment, that our gut always tells us to buy and sell at the wrong time. So it's those dealing with those types of situations and coping with those where you really need a human, right? So a human can understand the emotions a lot better than a robot. Otherwise, you know, they're going to be making all these mistakes. So where I find robots are really good is data crunching. Like what can happen is we can ask the robo or the algorithm to look for these types of investments based on these categories, and they'd crunch numbers all night. And then they'd spit out about 5 or 6 options for you in the morning. Then humans, as a portfolio manager, which I am, I'd take a look at those options and then do a deep dive. So instead of me considering like 100 options, the robot could allow me to narrow it down to 5 and I can make those decisions. So for me, it's a huge tool. It's a great tool. So I'd be crazy not to embrace it. So, and we're sort of seeing that. We're seeing that some people understand that financial advisors, you know, the money management side of it, if they can just farm that out and make it do it cheaply, why not do that? And then as an advisor, we can concentrate on the stuff that the robots can't do. So all the touchy-feely type of a thing and dealing with the volatility, talking about inheritances, those sorts of things. Because like a good example is, I guess, I was talking to somebody else. They had a problem with an inheritance and 2 different places they wanted equal, but it couldn't. So we had to come up with some different solutions, a solution that a robot would never come up with.
The robot wouldn't have figured that one out. Mark, thank you very much. We're glad you're not a robot sitting here in front of us today.
Thank you.
That's Mark Ting. He is our guide to personal finance. He's a partner at Foundation Wealth. He's here every week at this time. If you have a question for Mark, maybe it's something we could discuss here on air, do feel free to contact him. MarkTingCBC@gmail.com. MarkTingCBC@gmail.com.